On the first Sunday of Lent every year, the gospel is of the temptation of Jesus when he goes into the desert for 40 days. However, unlike Matthew and Luke, who go into detail with the three temptations that Jesus is given, all of which could be applied to the pillars of piety and the exercises that we engage in during the season of Lent, of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, Mark does not go into any detail at all. One thing to know about the Gospel of Mark is, unless it has anything directly to do with Jesus' ministry and teaching, he doesn't spend that much time on it at all. Just halfway into the first chapter, he's on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, calling his first disciples, but there is no infancy narrative. Any reference to Jesus' family, including his mother, is mentioned in passing. He goes straight to John the Baptist, and then mentions Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, the skies opened, the voice was heard, no detail. And then all we hear in Mark's gospel is he went into the desert to be tempted by the devil over 40 days, end of story. And he moves on to the work of Jesus, except to mention that the angels came and ministered to Jesus over those 40 days of temptation. And in many ways, every 3 years when we hear this particular telling of the temptation of Jesus, it's perhaps good to not focus specifically on the individual temptations of Jesus, but to reflect upon the overall experience of temptation that Jesus, like all of us, experienced, especially during intense times such as his sojourn in the desert and for us during the season of Lent. Well, one of the many reasons why usually when people approach Lent, it's more or less the sense of chore or a sense of, you know, it's a time of self-punishment or self-abasement. We give things up. We can't eat meat. We look at it in terms of things imposed upon us rather than the opportunity to grow closer to God and closer to one another as church, mainly because a main feature of the season of Lent is temptation and an intensification of temptation, which is ironic because we pray the Lord's Prayer, which says, "Lead us not into temptation." But then during Lent, we're pretty much saying, "Bring it on, we can handle it." And how do we invite temptation? Well, it is through the exercises that we do during the season of Lent. The same as any physical exercise is intended to strengthen us, not punish us. Although, do we really look forward, some people do, to the strenuous exercise of physical training? Maybe yes, maybe no. But what happens when we decide, I'm going to do 50 push-ups? Well, we get started, and maybe by the 10th push-up, we start feeling it a little bit. By the 20th push-up, we think, well, maybe today we'll just go as far as 30 or 25. No, 22. Tomorrow we'll do 50. But any coach would tell you, no, keep doing it, push yourself, get to that goal, and each time you do it, it gets easier because we're strengthening our bodies. Same thing with, okay, I'm going to do 20 laps around the field. Well, by the time you get to the 5th lap, you start to feel it. By the time you get to the 10th lap, you go, well, maybe I'll just do 15, 12. No, 10 and a half. That's what we'll do today. Because the body is tempting you to stop early. And any coach would tell you, keep going, push yourself. It gets easier the more you do it because you're strengthening your body. The same can be said for spiritual exercises, which we do during the season of Lent. And it consists of, and I'll address one temptation right here, of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. It's not prayer, fasting, or almsgiving. Because what's one temptation I always hear from people every year? You ask them, what have you given up for Lent? Well, Father, I don't give up something for Lent. I do something special, extra. Well, it's prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. That's the almsgiving part. So I ask, okay, well, what are you doing special, extra? Well, I haven't quite decided yet, but I thought I'd be a nicer person. Well, don't exert yourself. Or it might be, what have you given up for Lent? Oh, I gave up smoking. Oh, really? You smoke a lot? Well, not exactly. Maybe once or twice a year, but I decided to give it up for Lent this year. I'm not smoking at all during Lent. Well, again, don't exert yourself too much. Lent is a time, and there is no gray area. It is black and white. It's a time when Catholics, you've heard me say this before, it's a time when Catholics do one of two things. They either make sacrifices or they make excuses. They either show what good Catholics they are or they demonstrate what good lawyers they are. Because I'll tell you, I've run into more people who know the exceptions and the loopholes more than they know the actual practices and the sacrifices and the observances that we do. And that is a part of the experience of temptation. Practices that are designed to bring us together and strengthen us as church. Because no matter what we do, whether individuals, the individual things we give up for Lent, the individual observances we have, or the things we do together as church, such as the days of fasting and the days of abstinence we do together, we are doing things that are designed to bring us together and strengthen us as church, because we're all in this observance together, and to bring us closer to God. And temptation seeks to pull us away from that, to not strengthen us, to not bring us closer to each other as church, to not bring us closer to God. And we do inevitably experience temptation. And sometimes it can be clever ways. For example, another one I always hear every year, well, Father, I've given up Diet Coke. Well, then why are you drinking one right now? Well, it's Sunday, and Sunday doesn't count. I never heard that until I was ordained a priest. And I went to school with the nuns, and I never heard that before. But in its way, they are correct. They are right. They are right. Sunday doesn't count at one time. Some of you may be old enough to remember. I'm not, but some of you may be old enough to remember. When we fasted, that is the curtailing of what we ate every day during the season of Lent. Every day. That's something we did together as a community of faith, specific thing we did together. When we fasted every day during the season of Lent, curtailing what we eat, Sunday was not a day of fasting. We no longer fast every day during the season of Lent. Now we fast a total of 2 days. And we have 1 day to go. We've already done the other one. So the Sunday doesn't count anymore. The individual sacrifices we give up still apply on Sunday because we didn't give them up for 40 days. We gave them up for Lent. And folks, today is the first Sunday of what? And next Sunday is the second Sunday of what? And we gave this up for what? But why do people have that notion? Because when we give something that hopefully is important or something we're used to but can still live without but would be difficult to, we invite temptation. The devil tries to pull us away from a practice and a commitment we've given to ourselves and to God. And does it make any sense that on a day dedicated to the Lord is the day we give in to temptation? Another one of my favorites. I hear this in the schools all the time. So what are you giving up for Lent? Or are you remembering the Meatless Fridays? Well, no, Father, I'm under 14. I don't have to. Or I'm over 60. I don't have to. The age changes every year. Under 14 or over 60. And I always like to point out, yeah, you're right. You're right. Under 14. I think some say it's under 18. Or over 60. I think some say it's over 45. I don't know. It depends on the person who tells me this. And I say, you're right. You're not under obligation, but you still have to do it. There's a difference between having to do something and being under obligation. And it makes sense. We're very respectful of the elders in our midst. And one expectation is people of a certain age, we presume, have a certain maturity in which they don't need holy mommy church to hold their hand and tell them to look both ways before they cross the street. That they know the importance of these practices enough that they don't need an obligation imposed upon them to do practices that have been around since long before Christianity, prescribed by God Himself in the Old Testament for our own spiritual well-being. As for those under 14, it's also very complimentary of the teachers and the parents in our midst. Why do they need an obligation if their parents are already doing it and teaching them the practice so that they can do it on their own when they do enter an age in which they can, in a mature way, join the rest of the church in a universal practice that we do together? So again, the temptation is there to follow the letter of the law without understanding what that spirit is. And parents are great examples and great sources of growth for their children as they enter into the season of Lent. For example, one way parents are terrific is every now and again I'll ask people, especially the kids, what have you given up for Lent? And they say, well, I haven't decided yet. And I say, well, it's the first Sunday of Lent. You're kind of into it a while. You kind of still haven't decided yet. But parents, you've got the easiest thing in the world to help your kids give up. So I tell the kids at the school, you got to give up something with a little meat on it, no pun intended here. First graders give up candy. Eighth graders give up iPads. Technology. Xboxes. And it's the easiest thing in the world. It's like Ulysses being tied to the mast as he's going through that bay in which the sirens are wailing. What does he say? He says, tie me up to the mast, and no matter what I say, don't untie me, because I want to hear the sirens singing without jumping into the water and wanting to swim to them. Of course, the sailors couldn't hear him because they had wax in their ears, but as he's hearing the sirens, he's wanting to jump in the water. He's begging his men to untie him, but they can't. They can't hear him. They were ordered not to untie him. And he was able to resist that temptation because he was not given the means to give into it. The same way, parents, it's a great idea, and I'll tell you, kids, if you haven't decided what you're giving up for Lent, then you deserve this. Pack up the Xbox and hide it until Easter. They'll go through withdrawals, I know. I've got nephews. It's not a pretty sight. But the temptation is experienced, and they're given that strength to resist that temptation, to master their urges, to overcome their temptations. And it could be in anything that is important, not something we rarely do, but something that we like, something that would be a challenge, something that would invite temptation. And let me tell you, no matter how hard it gets, I'll really be impressed. And it can't be quite as hard as the young man I knew years ago, so I tell this story every year, who told me he's giving up sleeping in his bed during Lent. He's sleeping in a sleeping bag on the floor. And he's giving up hot water in his shower. Many poor people throughout the world do not have that luxury, and I know Mother Teresa's community do not do that. They don't use hot water. It's only 5 minutes, I'm sure, but it could probably be an excruciating 5 minutes of a very cold shower. But that is a real substantial thing to give up that would invite temptation. And we know a number of things, that all of us are giving something that is important, and we rely on the prayers and the support and the knowledge that we're all doing this together. The days of fasting and the meatless Fridays are things we do together as church, and it brings us together with a sense that we're doing something together during this holy season. And when we experience temptation, rather than give in to that temptation, we turn to God in prayer for that strength and that stamina, and something that is designed to pull us away from God and pull us apart as church is sabotaged into something that brings us closer to God and strengthens us within as we prepare these 40 days for our highest holy days in Easter. So let us enter into this season of Lent in a very serious and a full-hearted way, not giving it lip service and not letting it simply pass away as just yet another Lent, yet another wasted season. Let this be our sojourn in the desert. Let God give us those angels to minister to us when we experience temptation. And let us truly say as we look back on Easter that we have grown and that we are not the same people, even in small ways that we were at the beginning of Lent, but truly take advantage of this holy time in which we will experience temptation, but rely upon the grace of God to resist and endure so that we can grow closer to God as individuals, closer to one another and our connection to the church, and ultimately spend this time fruitfully as we prepare over these 40 days to celebrate our high holy days of the Easter season.